I'm going to invite you to go ahead and grab your Bible.
Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Tim. Here, I'll move this for Tyler. There you go, Tyler. Thank me later. But I want to invite you to go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to continue on through the Sermon on the Mount. And while you guys are getting there, I'm going to just take a moment and just devote this time to the Lord. This is another way us being able to honor the Lord, giving Him the first of our week. Today, this is a way that we're able to honor the Lord. So I'm going to ask that we do the work in our hearts to be able to set apart this time. But we're also going to ask that God would bless it as well and work in our hearts. So let me pray. So Father God, I thank you for the opportunity that we get to be able to just sit under you. And we get to know that you are our provider. You are our protector. You are our peace. You are our Savior, and you are our God. And I pray that those truths would permeate into our hearts, that this world can't provide what we need. That other people in this world, they can't provide what we need so desperately from you. There's no help, there's no hope from the turmoil, the struggle, the effects of sin in this world. It is from you and you alone. So, Father, I pray that you would honor just your word. I pray that you would speak to us this morning. And I pray that we would be able to be open and honest to be able to hear from you. In your name we pray. Amen. So as we get started, I just want to remind us just a little bit of the context. So we've been spending a lot of time just working through the Sermon on the Mount. And I just want to bring to mind afresh this morning just the people in which Jesus was talking to. And so the people at this crowd, they were not the religiously perfect. They weren't the ones in the synagogue that were all neat and polished. The people that were sitting here listening to this word from Jesus, sitting at his feet in all of his words, they were the ones that were the marginalized. They were the ones that were the down and outs. They were the ones that were really struggling to make it through in life. They were the ones who were sick, who were hurting, who were needy. And a lot of them have been pushed away from the religious community, and they had this sense that they weren't good enough to be able to sit in the synagogues and hear. And so I want that to be able to sit in us, because they have these very tangible needs in life, and they felt like they were discarded, and they felt like they weren't good enough to be able to hear from God, because a lot of the teaching was just all about making yourself be externally polished and good. And so they were like, man, if that's what it is, nothing's for me. I've sinned too much. I'm not good enough for that. So this teacher came. And so they're sitting there and they're like, man, he's speaking. And then what does he say to them? He's speaking blessings to them. We're going to take a minute and read it, the first couple verses of it. But what does Jesus open up his mouth by saying? He's not saying, hey, look, maybe one day you might be able to be accepted by God. He's speaking to their state. He said, blessed are you who mourn, because you will be comforted. Man, they were mourning. Those were people that they had real hurt and pain, and they had real needs. And so Jesus is speaking and said, hey, you will be blessed. It's not them that have it all together. You will be blessed. And so today we're going to look at verse 6 specifically, but let's read the first 6 verses together. It's Matthew chapter 5, verse 1. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, he sat down, and his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Man. And so imagine how elated this group of people were to be able to hear this teaching from God and say that, hey, right there where they are in their situation, that they have the ability to be blessed, And then specifically today, they don't have to clean themselves up. He says, hey, you in your state of desperate need, where you realize that no one else is going to help meet your needs, that there's no doctor that can heal you, there's no one else is going to pay your rent. No one. They're in this state of need. And yet, what does Jesus say? He says, blessed are you who hunger and you thirst for righteousness. And what does he say? You will be satisfied. So what is he saying? He's saying you right now in your state can be satisfied. And so these people are like, what is going on? And so I want this to continue to keep that with you in your mind as we work through things. But as we get started, I want to ask you to begin to think about another thing. So I know I'm asking a lot, but we can do this, all right? I want you to think of your favorite meal that you've ever had in your life. The favorite meal you've ever had. Now, you could think of something, it could be a meal in which all of your favorite foods were there. Or it could be your favorite restaurant that you could go to. Or it could be a time in which it was a sentimental time where maybe it was celebrating an occasion or you just loved that all of your favorite people were at this table. So I want you to think about this and in your mind attach these things because we're going to be playing on this. But I'll share mine and you're going to laugh at me when I tell you what I actually ate. But one of my favorite meals was I was in middle school. I was 7th or 8th grade. And my youth pastor and one of my youth leaders took me and my friend on a mountain biking trip to an area called Jim Thorpe in Pennsylvania. And so I literally was about like this tall, maybe. I was very, very, you know, slow to mature. So I was very small. And I had never been mountain biking before. Right? So, and we weren't going on these paved roads that all these people go on mountain biking on now. All right, this was actually a pretty decent trek. All right, so I was anxious going into it. I didn't have a bike, so I had to pass a test to rent a bike from this little bike shop. All right, it was kind of weird, but it did it. So went through, and as you can imagine, you know, it was a exhausting day. All right, it was exhausting physically. It was exhausting mentally because I didn't know what I was going to be up against. So in my mind, I'm worrying and, you know, trying to figure out if I could do it. So, you know, come to the end of the day and I pushed through and it was awesome. But I was wiped physically, emotionally, and mentally. And so my favorite meal was the meal that we had after that. Because I was sore, my butt hurt because, you know, sitting on a mountain bike for so long when you don't ride a bike, it hurts, man. Just being real. Right? I was sore because I pushed myself. Like, it was a long day. You know, I was tired because I was out in the sun. It was hot. You know, and then also just, like, I was ready to just stop moving. You know, like, because we were moving the whole day. I was ready to just kind of stop and be. And so when we finished the hike, the mountain bike, we were all, like, pumped up because we just, like, did something together. We just shared this experience and we like felt kind of victorious. Like in that moment, you probably have sensed this before where you're like, dude, let's do it again. But then if you did it, you'd like die. Like that's kind of where I was. Like I was on this high of like, yeah, I just was victorious. And so my favorite meal was we found this hole in the wall pizza shop in the middle of the mountains of Pennsylvania. And they had ice water. And when we ordered our pizza, they brought out the house salad. That salad was the best thing I ever ate in my life. And it wasn't necessarily about the salad. It was the fact that this was a room in which I was with these people that we just did something amazing. It was cool. The air conditioning was cranking. And my body was so hungry that whatever you put in front of me, man, I was going to devour. That's just what it was. You could put some mushrooms in front of me. I might have even eaten it. Oh, gosh. Merkles. So I tell you this. Hey, 15, 16 years ago, however long it was, that salad still stands in my mind. And it's not about the salad. It was about this fact that, man, that was so fun, that we were sitting there laughing and enjoying and saying memories about how, y'all remember when you flipped over the handlebars? Yeah, that was funny. Yeah, all right, and we're laughing, and we had this sense of accomplishment, and then we actually did nourish our bodies. And so same thing goes along and applies to us within our soul. Our soul is the same way that I was after that mountain biking trip. We have this sense that our soul is longing so much for something. But imagine, I wouldn't be standing here telling you how awesome McDonald's drive-thru was if we stopped and we just picked up drive-thru and drove home in the car. That meal stands out to me because we took time to be able to sit down, to stop, and to enjoy each other, and to enjoy the meal together. And it's the same thing with us spiritually. I mean, too much. We have this craving in us. We have this longing within us to have, you know, to experience God in a profound way, to be able to have a word from Him. And yet too many times we settle for just quick bites. Hey, we got it right there. Chair caught it. Hey, praise God for the wind. But too many times we settle for things that don't actually satisfy us. Too many times we're looking for other things to be able to be that longing, that to feed that longing. We listen to different cravings, different desires in us, and we are not very often satisfied. And so that's what Jesus is speaking to here. And so from the very beginning of our time, I just want to ask you, I'm going to tell you that the invitation is for every single one of us here. The invitation is for all of us to be able to stop, no matter where you are, no matter where your relationship is with God, no matter what you think it is with God. The invitation for you today and for me today is for us to sit down at the table and be able to feast with God. Feast with Him. So Jesus, when his words we're going to focus on here today: blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. It's amazing because he gives us a challenge at the beginning and then he gives us a promise. And so he said blessed. So we've been working through that. That means happy, right? That means that those who do this will receive something. So what do you think Jesus is addressing when he says hunger and thirst? Can you help me out with that, Tim? What do you think he's actually talking about? Hungry and thirsty? Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no hidden meaning to when Jesus says hunger and thirst. The words in the original language literally mean hunger, to have hunger and thirst, to be in need of a drink. All right, so Jesus is addressing our appetites, our cravings, our desires. All right, so, but notice, there's a caveat to it. He's not just saying, hey, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. So you're not blessed just because you get hungry and thirsty. Every single one of us under the sun hunger and thirst. But it's what do we go after? What are we searching for to be able to get that satisfaction? And so to be able to help us be able to understand this like idea that our hungers and our thirsts could be wrong, I want us to go, I'll read Philippians 3:19. And Paul puts it very strongly, and he says, hey, we can have really bad hungers and thirsts. They can lead us to things that don't satisfy us. But Philippians 3:19 says this, says, their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. I mean, dang, that's like some pretty strong words, isn't it? I mean, Paul is saying, hey, look, there are people that sit there and they worship their appetites. They worship their bellies. They worship their cravings. So whatever it is that they're feeling that they want, they go and do it. So they're basically saying this rejection of the first commandment, which is to love the Lord your God, honor the God alone. And it's this inversion of like, hey, worship yourself, whatever your belly, whatever your body tells you, you do it. And what does Paul tell us there? He says, and when we worship ourselves in that way, when we don't hold things that we think that we desire, it begins to push us into doing things that are shameful. And we have our minds that are set on these earthly things. So Jesus is addressing our appetite. And one of the reasons why he's addressing our appetites, our desires, our yearnings, is because our appetites reveal who we really worship. Your appetite, my appetite, reveal who we really worship. So man, this is like really hard and hurtful things, because as I'm working through that this week, I'm really realizing how much I love myself. And for people that we're trying to follow the Lord, that's not a good place to be, because I'm a very bad God. I am not worthy of worship. And so for you, man, what is it that you run to when you have these cravings, when you have these desires? Man, what is it that you run to when you're stressed, when you're worried, when you're anxious, when you're fearful? What is it that you run to for satisfaction? You know, for you, I don't know what it is. It could be some sort of a substance. It could be some sort of lust. It could be food. It could just run to laziness. Like, man, I have too much to do, man. I just gotta sit. Do nothing. You could work more. You could fill your calendar up with just busyness so that you don't have to deal with the things that you have going on. Maybe for you it's not a coping thing. Maybe for you it's a motivation in life. The craving in life for you, it might be a motivation, a thing that drives you. It could be just this hunger for success. It could be this hunger for more money. It could be this hunger for security. It could be this hunger for image or for approval of others. So this is dangerous, because maybe you just have one of the two, but if you're like me, man, I struggle with a combination of both coping mechanisms and desires and these hungers. Man, when I'm stressed, when I'm worried, I am so prone to give in to these sinful cravings. And what I think, what my body is telling me is that, hey, you need to go after these cravings to be able to satisfy you. And man, never does it satisfy. It drifts me away. But not only that, I have this weird sense, this drive for like approval. And I have to fight this in me, because I want people to approve of me. I want you guys to like me. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But when that becomes my drive, when that becomes my hunger, then that can drive me to some really wicked places. And so, man, what is it within you that you are prone to go after to find this satisfaction that only could be found in the Lord? Because we settle for this drive-through McDonald's Christianity too much. And man, my soul is too hungry for that junk. Your soul is too hungry for that. It's time to have a meal. It's time to have a meal. The beautiful thing is that Jesus gives us a promise. Is that when we hunger and we thirst for righteousness, we will be satisfied. We will be satisfied. So righteousness, the things of God, when we hunger for God, when we go and we carve out time and spend time with Him, when we try to learn what it means to be able to pray, when we try to learn what it means to serve Him, to be able to understand Him in His Word, when we do those things, we will be satisfied. It's no empty thing. I got a kick out of this as I was trying to understand, what does satisfied mean? It's a livestock term. This is a term that they used to try to describe the process of fattening up an animal. So do you see that picture? Jesus isn't just saying that, hey, if you come to me, if you hunger and you thirst for the things of God, that you'll eat. And it's like, man, you're going to be full. Man, you're going to be fat and happy. Praise be to God. In a good way. All right, you're going to be stuffed. You are going to be, grandma, I can't eat another piece of cake, that type of stuff. All right. So the beautiful thing is that, look, it's not this image of Jesus is just saying, hey, you'll just get enough to get by. No, when we take time and we go after the things of God, we will be satisfied. It's just like Jenny testified earlier. There's no coincidence that when you take time to be able to be in his word, that he satisfies you with what you need for that day. She had no idea that this is what we're going after. That's God testifying, giving us proof, living proof that this is what happens. But you might be looking at me like, all right, Chris, that's cool. I understand that hunger and thirst for righteousness, but that's just not me. That's not where I am. I try to go after the things of God, but then I get distracted and pulled the other way. Man, I so want my desires to be able to be in line with God, but that's just not where I am. I want to encourage you, go to Romans chapter 7 and read that today. Allow that to minister to you. Because the Apostle Paul has this kind of spiritual ADHD moment. Now, I want you to read it and think of Pastor Tim when you read it. It'll be awesome. Because I want him to be able to read this, because it would be, maybe next week you got to read it for us. Next week, maybe. But Paul is being very honest and candid. He's saying, hey, the very things that I want to do, I can't do because I keep doing the things I don't want to do. And I can't do the things I want to do because these keep pulling me. And it's this wrestling match back and forth. And allow that to be able to encourage your soul. Because look, listen. For you and for me today, this is not a thing in which Jesus is trying to get you to correct your behavior. Jesus is flipping the script when he says this. He's not saying that you act all good and perfect, that you clean yourself up, that you are clean, that you don't do a certain thing for so many days and then God will approve you. It's not this, you know, behavior modification, Jesus. He's saying that when you come to the table, you will be satisfied. When you come to the table, you will be satisfied. So how do we change? How do we do this? How do we hunger and we thirst? The beautiful thing is that appetites can change. So allow that to bless you, to encourage you. No matter where you are, your appetite can change. The things that you crave can change. But the way that you do that is you taste the thing that actually does satisfy you. Because every single time that you settle for something that doesn't satisfy the way that the Lord does, you'll be reminded of that. You'll be reminded of that. So I want to read a couple verses for us, and then we're going to land the plane. So Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. John 6, 35. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and believes in me will never thirst. That just, when I read that this week, it was like a mind bomb went off. So Jesus was speaking these words that we're reading in the Sermon on the Mount, and he says those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be satisfied. And then later on in his ministry, what did we just read? He says, man, I'm the bread of life. And if you come to me, you will never hunger. You will never thirst. So what is Jesus doing here? He's doing this like circle pointing back to himself. He's saying that your soul can only be satisfied as you pursue your connection and your relationship with him. So what does this look like for you? What does this look like for me today? I have one more verse and we'll close here in a minute. It's Psalm 23, verse 5. It's a psalm that many of you can quote. But too many of us, we think of all of the troubles that we have in life, all of the stress, all of the worry, all of the fear, all the expectation, all of the sin, all of the garbage. And we think of all these things and we're like, man, once I get through this, then I'll be able to spend some time with the Lord. I got to make it through this battle. I got to make it over this, then I'll be able to. But what this verse is saying, Psalm 23:5, It says, "You, O Lord, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." So what's he saying there? What do we need? What does your soul need? What does my soul need? It's not for us to be able to wait to just make it through. It's not for us to be able to just hope that we can be able to fight. But it's that the Lord has set this table right in the middle of all of our crap. Sorry, Miss Lori. Right in the middle of all of our junk. Right in the middle of the battle. Right in the middle of the enemies. And he says, "Hey, you, sit down. Sit down and eat. Sit down and enjoy. The Lord has set a table. He's prepared a meal, and he wants you to eat. He wants you to commune with him." So for you and for me today, man, let's stop waiting and trying to muster up strength. What we need to do, the invitation is here for all of us. Man, come to the table. The Lord is waiting. He's prepared what you need before him. He's made this whole spread. All we need to do is come to him. And as we come to him, he will satisfy you. So for you today, I don't know where you are with your relationship with Jesus. Maybe all this is just making you just, I don't really know what to think. I want to encourage you to come talk to one of us, because the invitation to the table is here. It might be even new and fresh for you today. But for those of us who have a relationship with God, man, stop waiting. God has prepared a table for you. Go sit at the table and enjoy him. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? Because they will be satisfied. Man, are you satisfied today? If not, I want to invite you, come to the table. If we could pray for you in any way, man, please come. We would love to pray with you. We would love that. But let me close this in a word of prayer. So, Father God, I thank you for who you are. God, I thank you that you are the bread of life. I thank you that you are the living water. And so, God, I pray over every single one of us here today. Lord, you know our hearts. You know what we're working through. You know the things that we need to hear from you. You know the battles that we are working through, and you know the battles that are coming. And still, your call is for us to come and to sit with you and to allow you to be God, for us to stop fighting, to just sit under the protection and provision of you, and to be able to allow our hearts and our souls to be satisfied. So God, I ask that. I ask that you would satisfy our souls today. God, change us and help us not to be able to give in to cravings, but allow us to go after soul nourishment. In your name we pray. Amen.